Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 The Spirit of the Lord, these words keep coming up in me. Awakening. 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 This is the year of the awakening. For the awakening will begin in this year in the church. The awakening will come forth. And my glory will be shown. My glory will come forth for the awakening. Yes, yes. And this is the year that will be fulfilled what was spoken many years ago concerning the giant, the church of Jesus Christ. For ye, the church will rise up in this day. It will begin to rise up this year. This year, the church will begin to arise and take its place. For there are a people that I have set apart for my day and my time, says the Lord, and I will bring them forth and show my glory, yes, in this year and in this time. So walk forth with boldness, for many things around may seem different. Many things around may seem they're heading the other direction. But the Lord says, this is my time that I have set forth. So come forth and walk in it. Be not afraid. Be bold in this day and see my glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning we're going to begin a new series of teaching. I had more things on the other subject I was talking about, but the Lord just wanted to end that there where we were. We looked really at a lot of reasons and really dealing with reasons for sickness and disease, reason why things go on. There's a lot of stuff you can cover in the Word about that. And so we could look at, but the Lord began to speak to me about some things that I had back some time ago, good months and months ago, had wanted to go over into some areas that God had been dealing with me on. And then he began to speak to me about these areas. And so we're going to start in a series this morning called True Worship. And really is coming in line with the Word of God, we're going to start off. One of the things the Lord gave me, I had sat down, had done some studying, and I put some notes together that I had with them. And the notes that I had only put up to a certain point, I put things together. I have teachings on these things, but I always, when I'm going to teach a subject, I always go back to it again and start all over again. Because there's always, you get further revelation, or the Holy Spirit maybe wants to emphasize something a little bit different about it. So you don't want to get onto your canned idea. So I put down and went through things and put notes together. And so then yesterday he sort of instructed me to sort of start in the middle of my notes. He said, I want you to open with this. And I, okay. I said, whatever. Hey, he can do that. I have a choice. I could do it my way and not have the anointing. Or I can get the anointing. So it's not much of a choice, really. But, hey, people do it. But we want to turn to John, the 4th chapter. Very familiar scriptures we want to look at. And, it's one of the things that's going back over, you know, we're not talking about things that the scriptures you've never heard of or you don't know, you don't have revelation on. But is, you know, it's, you need to continually and all the time refresh yourself in things. You know, it's one of the things, you know, you find that, you know, just in the secular world, people continually have what they call continuing education. You know, you go back and you get refreshed over things, go over stuff, and, you know, to remind, because I don't care who you are, it's easy to lay certain things aside and sort of forget about them. And then you realize, you go back over again, and you're like, oh, wow, I haven't been doing that. So even though you did know it, going back over that. As Michael read this morning where God told Joshua, he said, you meditate on the word day and night. Now, these are the words that were already given. You know, most people are looking for a new word from God. You know, most people don't need a new word. They need to go over the words that are already there till you can do them. If you can, you know, you don't need a word from God if you ain't doing what the word already says to do. You don't need another one. And we're always looking. Boy, people say, I want something new. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm still trying to do the old stuff that's been written centuries before I came along. And I'm still practicing those. But in John, the 4th chapter, Jesus is talking to a woman, and at the well at Samaria, he's there. And We want to look at some things that he said there. We're not going to go over all the incident with her, but there's some things he said concerning worship that are highly important to us. We need to look, when we're dealing with the areas of worship or anything in the Word, we need to understand this. God has already established His plans and His purposes. The Word of God is given to us from the stand of telling us things about how God does things. Jesus spoke in parables, and the whole thing, those parables were all principles of the kingdom, of how the kingdom works. So in other words, He's instructing people how the kingdom works. You know, we have today, is one of the false things, is people think because God, quote, is love, and He's merciful and He's kind, we can just sort of pick and choose what we want to do. But yet we desire to have the blessing of God, and we want to have all that God, people say, I want everything God has. Well, you're going to have to do the Word then. You're going to have to do what the Word, you're going to find out what God said to do. Understand, when you approach worship, worship is not what you want to give God or how you want to do it. God has established, and He has established from the beginning what He required for worship. Never was it ever determined by man. When man, false religion, in which we have much today in Christianity's false religion, because it's man's ideas of worship, it's not what the Bible says. It's what people like to do. It's what people want to do. And you need to understand this. You need to look at the Word. If I'm going to come to God, I need to come to God the way that He said. You know, we need to realize, I mean, if we go back, looking back in the beginning to Abraham concerning sacrifices. In other words, God established the sacrificial system. He established that. And they would follow that system. They had a certain amount of revelation that Abraham had concerning, and he would sacrifice to God. So he would do it according to what God said, not according to what he thought. You know, he didn't even build an altar according to what he thought. You know, we have over the children of Israel. When the children of Israel, God came along with them, and he established the tabernacle and started to give them a revelation about worshiping him or what they had to do in his presence. You know, he never asked anybody of their opinion of how the tabernacle should be laid out. He never asked anybody's opinion about how it should be built. He never asked anybody's opinion of what they were supposed to do. He told everybody exactly what they were supposed to do, exactly how it was supposed to be built, and what was supposed to be done in that place, if they wanted to please him. You see, you don't decide what you're going to do to please God. Most people are doing that today. They decide they want to please God. So they decide a way that they find that they want to please God. No, we go to the Word, find out what God said pleases him. What he wants, establish the system. When God came along and had them build the whole temple was given to them. The layout of the temple was given by God to David. David gave it to Solomon to build. Solomon didn't throw in his ideas and his plans on the thing. They followed it. In other words, it's what God established. All those principles of the things, they carry right over to today. There is today, we don't have like the physical worship of the temple, but the whole point of the temple and all that was a type and shadow of what was to come, which was going to be spiritual. Much worship today that's done in the church world is not spiritual. It's physical. It's man doing, going through his rituals, going through his thing, and it's not spiritual. We have churches in this community, you probably hardly find a person in the place born again, and they're saying they're worshiping God. No, they ain't. Sinners ain't worshiping God. A sinner can't worship God on his level and what God calls us to worship. They can't even do it. And that there surprises Christians, because Christians don't know no more about in the world, does it? We just go through motions of things, and we go through things, and we call this, say, this is worship. This is worship. Well, what does God require? And this is what we want to look at. Is what does God require? See, we want to hook up with God. If I can find out what God wants and do what He wants, I'll be blessed. See, many people, they walk around and say, I don't understand. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but nothing seems to be working. I've had many times people over the years said that. I don't understand. Came to me, I don't understand. Wow, and what you start to find out is they aren't doing what God said. They have their ideas of how to do things, and they're doing things in that manner, and they want God to bless them. And the whole thing, the blessing is on doing His will. Is finding. So we want to find, I want to know what God says about it, no matter what I think on the subject. God has established a way to be blessed. I want to know what God says. You know, I'm not interested in what my, you know, but my fathers did. If theirs wasn't right, I don't want to do it. No, people get stuck in some ditch because somebody did something and they're just going to do it. You know, that's what they're going to do. We want to find out what God says, and we're going to worship. Jesus gives some information, really a revelation about something that really before has not, man hasn't known. Understand this about temple worship. Temple worship was physical worship. It was not spiritual. It was done by spiritually dead people. Not a one of them was born again. Not a one. They were spiritually dead people doing things that God told them do that represented things pointing to a future of spirituality. But it wasn't spiritual. That's why they did all those things. They had all those things that they did. All those things meant something, but its fulfillment was in Christ. All of it was. All of its fulfillment was in Christ. If they were operating in the Spirit, then what on earth was Jesus about? They were already doing spiritual. No, they weren't. You know, we have a lot today, you know, they want to bring back, you know, whether we ought to practice feast days and all that kind of stuff, people doing things. Anytime God starts to move, you always have the religious people come out. And they will always want to go back to ritual. They'll always come back. They'll always go back to the law and go back to things and want to start practicing stuff and doing things. And leave spirituality. Because, you know, we need to understand this. When people are not spiritual, number one, and when a person's not born again, there's only one way that they can live, and that's from their flesh. You see, this is why most Christians don't get it. Because even though they got born again, they're still thinking as everybody's in the flesh. They'll talk to a sinner like he ought to be able to do things that they do. They don't realize they can't even do it because of their thinking. You see, we're spiritual people. We're supposed to operate on a different level. We're not supposed to be operating out of our flesh. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, the Bible tells us. What's our walk? Our walk is a walk of faith. Walk of faith has to be in the Spirit because faith's of the heart. So it can't be done. So you can never expect a sinner to walk by faith. He can't do it. He don't have the nature to walk by faith in God. If he could, I mean, what was the point of Jesus if you could do that? See, and this is why separating ourselves is beginning to understand what we are in Christ Jesus. In John 4 and verse 21, Jesus gives a wonderful revelation concerning worship. Jesus, and it says in verse 21, Jesus is speaking to this woman. He said, and Jesus said to her, woman, believe me. Yeah, first of all, you're supposed to believe this. He said, believe me. No, he put that on top of the list. Don't matter what you say, if the person don't believe it, don't amount to nothing. You know, don't matter how much I believe the Bible is the Word of God, if I don't believe what it says, it's telling me to do, wouldn't do me a bit of good, would it? You got to believe it. He said, believe me. He said, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Now, that's quite a revelation at that time. He said, you won't worship the Father. The time is coming. He said, you won't worship the Father here. See, in Samaria, they had their temple where they worshiped God. Over in Jerusalem, they had the temple there where they worshiped God. Now, he tells them, this is coming when you will neither on this mountain, or he said, or in Jerusalem, worship God. Now, you just don't want to stop there. You got to go on and read what else it says. Now, listen to what he says. He said, you worship what you do not know. Now, you need to understand this. He just told them, see, she goes to a temple in Samaria, and he just told her, you've been wasting your time. You don't even know what you're worshiping. You don't even know. Why? Because God had done something. And this is what man always does. God had established how you had to worship Him. And you had to do it over at that temple. You couldn't make your own. Every Jew had to present himself twice a year to God. He had to go over and present him because the presence of God was there. You didn't sacrifice someplace else. Sacrificing was done there. God established that. See, all along, see, Israel got in trouble. Go back over and read Trouble's history. Every time they changed the worship, Israel fell. The church is in its mess today because the church has left true worship and is just religious. That's all it is. It's a religion made up by men, people. And we love practicing our stuff. We love doing our stuff. We love making up stuff, a new way to worship. You know, we got better now, you know. We got better stuff. And this is one thing. Do you know one thing? Now, if you go over the centuries, think about this. God started the form of worship that took place in the temple, and he started it with Moses and the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And all of societal changes never changed how God said worship was supposed to be. In other words, all the technology and stuff was not supposed to affect what God said about what worship was. All that they had learned and all that they did, the worship in the temple was just like it was in the tabernacle. It was the same procedures and the same things done. So over all those centuries, nothing changed. Every time Israel changed, and here's the change that always comes, we bring the stuff of the age into the church. They would bring the stuff of the age into the temple, and every time they got into idolatry. And much of the church is in idolatry today. Much of the church is in idolatry. Our way of worship. This is the way. Over the years, I've had people, well, this is how we worship God. I thought there's only one way. I didn't know God handed out different ways to different people. There's nowhere in Scripture even gives you that idea. But see, people like their stuff. And they love hanging out with their stuff. And their stuff becomes more important than God. But they'll tell you, I believe the Bible. They don't know what the Bible even says. But they believe it. So we worship. Now, he said, you don't even know what you worship. You don't even know. And he was right. They didn't know. Why? Because if she knew, she would have been over at that temple. She would have been some miles over in Jerusalem. Because that was the form of worship that God had established. That was the form. That was God required. That's what he said, you do that, I'll bless you. That's what he did. He never asked Ed if I thought that was all right. If he'd do that, he never talked to me about any of that stuff. But see, God gives it. To me, see, so many people, I don't know why people want to have their own thing. To me, maybe it's because I'm pretty simple about this stuff. I like that I don't have to figure stuff out. That if somebody's already given us what to do, that's pretty easy for Ed. I don't have to sit up and I try to figure ways to make this stuff work. I don't have to do none of that. It's like, it's told me do this. Hey, okay, that's the place to go. Then we just go over there. I don't have to figure out the right place that has to be done or all that. To me, it's simple. But people just love, they love their own opinions. They love their own stuff. They're in love with what they think. I don't care what God thinks. It's more important about me. I got to put my opinion on it. Let me ruin it. Let me do it. Come on. But he said, okay, so he says, you worship what you do not know. Now listen what he says. We know what we worship. Now he said, we know. In other words, I'm a Jew. We know what we worship. Why? For salvation's of the Jew. And it is. Salvation was for the Jew. It was through the Judaism that came, that the Messiah came, that we have the Messiah. He didn't come through Samaria and their religious worship. They would have never known it had not the Jews followed God. You need to understand, if you don't follow God right, you can blab your mouth to whomever you want about Jesus. It ain't working. God has established a plan. When we follow God's plan, God's anointing's there to bring people to His plan. He's not going to bring them to our plan. He's not going to do that. He's going to bring them to His plan and His design because that's His blessing. And He shows us how to do it. See, we say we want the power of God. Well, one of the things that Randall Greer, when I was out in Branson, the Lord had told me specifically to go to Branson. It's one of the things, the revelation the Lord brought out there with Branson. You guys have heard me talk about how I'm just tired of hearing ministers keep pushing off the revival to the future. And God spoke through the prophet while I was out there, and he said, people keep praying and asking me to send the power. He said, you think I haven't sent it? He said, you've been praying all these years. He asked Randall Greer about praying all the years he prayed. He said, how long have you been doing this? And Randy said, I've been praying, told the Lord, I've been praying this for years. He said, well, you think I didn't send it? You think I wouldn't send it? He said, it isn't a matter of me sending it. He said, it's a matter of you receiving it. He said, the church is not ready to receive the power of God. See, Israel had some things going. They had this tent where they were supposed to worship God. Things got turned around. God turned around, really, as David got a revelation, and David brought the ark up to himself. But Israel really wasn't worshiping really as God has established. And when they fixed it, when Solomon built that temple, what happened on the day when they turned and consecrated that temple and opened that thing? The power of God came and filled it. The power of God showed up that day. The priests couldn't minister. They got knocked out. Nobody could. God came and filled the thing. Why? Because that was his plan. That was it. See, we want God, come and fill it on my plan. It's not going to happen. It's not going to come on our plan. It's going to come on his plan. On what he planned. It's on his temple. The design of his temple. It's the design of what he has established. That's what he fills. And we need to understand that. We're trying too much today. There's so much going on out here. And I said, men's ideas have entered in of what we think things should be. We have so much of our culture in the church. And the American culture stinks. And it's in the church. We think, I mean, most of Bible interpretation of most ministers today is from the American culture. It's an Eastern book. It's not American. And these people talk about it, you know, and they interpret it in light of our culture. It ain't to be interpreted in the light of our culture. We interpret it in light of God's culture, you know. We need to get some heaven culture in the church. There's not much of that. We're children of God. We belong to a kingdom that is not of this world. We're so busy trying to get all these, you know, every nationality of every person get together and all that. It ain't ever happening. The thing that's supposed to be in unity is the church. The world ain't getting into unity. Read the book of Revelation and you won't pray so much dumb stuff. I'm Irish. You know, they used to say why God made beer so the Irish wouldn't take over the world. I don't care about being Irish. What good does it do? Who cares what nationality? I don't care where you came from. I want to know who you got living in you. What spirit are you of? All that stuff don't matter. But it matters so much because we let the culture, that culture of the world, get in the church and start all this rot and drag it into the church. And the church can't be a family as long as we believe we're all just different races. There is no family. It ain't about difference in races. Not in God's family. And if you want to have your race, well, go join the Democrats and you can have your race magnified and glorified, whatever you want. See, we're in the kingdom of God. We're born of the same spirit. We're not something fleshly. We're of the same spirit. Hallelujah. We have the life of God. The world don't. Nationalities don't give you anything. You ain't going to heaven on nationality. It ain't going to do nothing for you. Hallelujah. I gave that stuff up a long time ago. It don't matter. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. I'm a child. I'm born of God. My citizenship is in heaven. Now, in this natural world, I live in a nation, America, but America ain't on the top of the list. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God's on the top of the list. Number one, the culture of that kingdom is more important to me than any culture. And if that isn't number one in your list, you know, if it's waving the flag of some nation, well, I get over it. get another dip. You need to get saved. It'll change your life. But see, we need to get out. See, this stuff gets in, and that stuff gets mixed in, and that filth gets in, and we wonder why. We're praying, asking God to help. Things don't change, and people say, I wonder, I don't know why. You know, we're praying. Yeah. Does God, just because you prayed, the world's full of people praying, and things just getting worse. See, I believe praying does get... I heard people say prayer changes things. Well, what do you mean by that? I know people that prayed and died in their sin and went to hell. What a change. Prayer will change things if it's in line with what God designed prayer to do and what you're hooked up with God's plan. It'll work. But just my idea of going around and crying out to God. You see, it's so important. We need to know that. We have all this stuff that's thrown out here today, and it's all this religious stuff, and it's just thrown out there like, you know, well, you know, it sounds spiritual, it sounds good, it's nice. That that's going to make it work. No, it don't. But you get in line with God. We have really made things complex that are so simple. You know, when I came in the kingdom as a young Christian, to me it was pretty simple. I'd find out what the Bible says, I'd start doing that, and things would work and happen. And then I got around the church. And then they were doing exactly what the Pharisees did. You know, God had the law that he gave, and they added 20,000 laws to it to tell you how to make this thing work. You know what I mean, don't you? Yeah, we're going to teach you how to make it. And what happened? Nothing worked, and you end up worse off. After a while, you sit around and ain't nothing working. Nothing's working. Yet in our heart, we love God, but we don't realize that other practices have got in, things that have got in that have tainted what God wants to do, and it stops the flow of God. And people just keep beating the same old thing and doing the same old thing. See, salvation was of the Jews. In other words, God had laid out a plan. He had picked a people. Now just think of that. God had picked a people that he was going to bring his revelation through. Now isn't that interesting? Why didn't he just do it to everybody? I don't know. He never asked Ed or asked me if he wanted to ever explain it to me. He never has. And I don't really care. What I need to know is this, is whom God had chosen and what God did. If I want to be blessed, I have to find out his plan and follow that plan. See, well, why didn't God just go around and pick somebody from every country of the world at that time? And why didn't he do that? Well, my name is not Alice, and I didn't go down a rabbit hole. I'm not going to wonder about any of that kind of stuff. I don't care. God told us what he had planned and chosen to do. What I need to do is come to his plan. He's God. This I have found out about God over the years. He is so much smarter than you and me. Now, if I have a choice to choose between what you think and he thinks, I just want you to know this. I don't dislike you, but I don't really care what you think. It doesn't matter. If it's in line with his word, good, tell me. I want to know. I want to know. But if it's not, I have no interest in what you got to say on the subject. Why? Because it's not about our opinion. It's what did he say? What did he say that he wants? Well, I think I like to do it like this. Go ahead, have at it. Don't expect me to join your club. If I can find it in the Word, we're going to do it. But if it's not, I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I want to find out how did God do it? Because I found this out. Jesus came into the world. And you know how he walked perfectly? He followed the perfect plan of his Father that had been laid out before the foundation of the world. And by doing that, he opened the door of salvation to all humanity. He didn't do it by coming and performing his own type of religion, own ideas. He came and followed a path that had been established before the foundation of the world, that had been given into the earth, and that plan brought about the salvation of all humanity. Why would I want to break that thing? Why would I want to establish a new one? Why would I want to come across to my ideas and my thing? If he could accomplish what he did by following that plan had to be awesome. The power of God was in the plan, wasn't it? Look what it did. Is there anything better? No. The salvation that God applied is as good as it gets. You can't get better. How are you going to get to work better? Nobody else, no other religion has ever done such a thing as Christianity has done. Never. All prophets who came along and were supposed to be prophets of all different religions, none of them did 0.1% of miracles that were done through Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus did it following the law. My God, what we ought to get out of grace. The reason, you know why grace doesn't work for people generally? Because grace today is lawless. Grace is not lawless. Grace doesn't mean we don't follow principles and the plans of God. Paul, the Apostle Paul, go over and read Paul's writing. Paul wrote to people and say and scolded them because they weren't doing the things he commanded them. Well, I didn't think we had any commandments. That's the trouble, you thought. Right there is where the problem started. You started thinking. There's laws and rules. There's laws and rules. There is nothing in this earth created by God that doesn't have laws and rules in its function. Just think about your body. What happens when the laws and rules of your human body start acting up and do the wrong things? Do you stay healthy? No. Everything has laws and principles of how it works. Why? God never made anything lawless. Never made anything lawless. Anything that's lawless is of the devil. There's a lot of Christianities of the devil today. It's lawless. It's the devil. It's a facsimile of so-called Christianity. It's this thing on the side here that has the trappings that we're told about that Paul wrote. Said they'll have a form of godliness. But what? They deny the power. See, we are crawling today and praying for the power. You can't have power in form. You must have the real thing. You can't have an image of it. You must have the real thing to get the power. He said that in the last days, this is what's going to happen. They're going to have a form of godliness, but deny the power. There's not going to be any power in it. What do we have today? They're good people. Oh, we're just so good. We're just so nice. I'll take a person with power over good and nice any day. The only way you can get into most churches today is good and nice. If you have power, they don't even want you around. Because it scares them. They don't know what to do with it. Heathen people don't know how to act around power. It scares them. They're afraid to blow up and go off on them or something. My God, it might change my life. Just think about it. I mean, you take the Pharisees in Jesus' day. What did they hate about him? His power. His power. They hated it. The idea that people are going to all just really love the power. No, they don't. People love their religion. They love their little beliefs and they love their stuff. That's the most important. People have built their own little religions and they got their own little, you know, that they're in charge of. And they just like it, you know. Don't matter what I'm in charge of. I want God in charge of something. He seems to do better than Ed does. He was talking to me about that this morning. Talked to me about letting him in the pulpit again this morning. He said, "You let me talk today." I said, "Yes." And so I said, "You just go right ahead. You do things. See, I don't have notes on a lot of this stuff." But we're talking about, but we need to know. We're moving over in the area because if we can't worship God in the Spirit, what are we going to do much of anything? See, if the foundation of what we do has no basis to it, why play the rest of the game? Why even, you know, go through? There's no point. There's no point to it. Is dealing with these things, is being able to see. See, I believe that, there's a desire in us. There is a craving inside of us for a supernatural God to manifest himself. We know, we've touched into things. But see, I've looked things. See, one of the things the Lord talked to me about, worship back years ago when I came into kingdom and the worship of God today. And he started showing me. See, back in those days, we were so simplistic and that's really what made things work. We didn't come to church with agendas. We didn't have that. We weren't even smart enough to have an agenda. We didn't know about that. We just, you know what? We wanted God to move and do what he wanted to do. And we just thought it was a great thing just to come and you're going to, you know, worship God. We were very simple about it. We didn't have to have the trappings. Today, we just have all, you know, we got to have a show. We got to have, you know, the video, the lights, the stuff, and we got to have all this gear and all this stuff, and this was up. We got to have these huge teams of people and that stuff, and we got to have all this. We got to have the professional of this and that and the other thing. Well, has it led us to where we want to be? No. Well, they told us that this is what God wanted us to do. You know what? But we filled the churches with unsaved people who are never going to get saved. We've told them they're all right now because they come to our church. They're full of death. They come for the show. They found religion that's a show. See, Israel and the temple, it wasn't a show. You know, I've over the years, I've heard, you know, well, the reason the churches, see, I've heard ministers say this about, you know, really having all this stuff on stages and doing, well, you know, the temple, it had the walls were made of gold and it had the cherubim and all that kind of stuff. The people never saw that. You know, the only Israelites who weren't priests never saw inside the temple in the holies of holies. There's only one guy ever saw that place on the inside, and that was the high priest. The rest of them never saw those big cherubim on the inside. The guys who made those and built those and put them in there, once that thing was done and set up, that was closed up, there's only one person that ever went in there. They never saw the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant set in behind that thing, and they never saw it. Nobody ever went in that entire building itself, the building itself, except the priests. The high priest was only one that went into the holies of holies, and the holy place was only the other priests. None of the congregation of people, they stayed out in the courtyard. And you know where they worshiped at? A place you would probably never want to worship at. They were outside worshiping at where they made the sacrifices. And you know that altar out there, where that altar was made of out there? It was made of stones. And it was also, and those stones were held together. It was uncut. God said uncut stones. God didn't want, you know why he didn't want it? He didn't want man's hands in on it. He didn't want man's devices making stone. Uncut stone, and they would take pitch and tar and I forget what else, and they'd mix it together and they made a thing that held those stones together. And you know where those people worship? They worship out there where flesh was burning. Did you ever smell animal flesh burning? Boy, is that exciting. Well, you know how it is when you cook and you burn something? Well, I'm going to tell you, you got the whole animal out there cooking. And that thing's out there, and it's burning on there. This is a glorious place to be. There's the smell of blood. They've just done, how many people bought their stuff to turn around and get to slaughter, make their sacrifices? And there's the smell of blood. Have you been around really smelling blood? Exciting, isn't it? I'll tell you, just, I've done butchering stuff. I know what it's like. That's a place to worship. And what do Christians do today? No, we have to have a show and everything, or we can't worship. Why? Because our flesh can't take it. You know, we have to have everything. We have to have the right aromas and the right smells and the right stuff. They didn't. This is what God said he wanted to have. This is what he wanted them to do to worship. Now, I ain't say we got to have a stinky place, but I'm going to tell you what. If you need everything worship and everything perfect and everything really nice and dinner, you done missed it. Because you don't just come to church to worship God. You're supposed to be worshiping God out there. When you're working on your job, can you get in contact with God, or you need some special candlelight service to do that? You see, we've missed this whole thing because we've come over misinterpreting the Bible, preaching this stuff we got from an American point of view of wealth, and missed the whole thing. Lost the whole thing. It's about getting in the will of God. That don't mean we got to burn flesh up here and we got to make it uncomfortable for you. That's not to do. But you got to get out of your psychological idea of what you think God wants. Because if you don't, you can't ever please him. The only way you can please God is by faith. And that's based on what he said, not what you think. The more I find out I give up on Ed's thinking, and the more I get in line in the Word, the better it gets. The more I follow Ed's thinking, Ed's ideas. It's what we all deal with. But you know what? We haven't had teaching to bring people back. We don't have enough teaching today generally going on to bring people back over to where we're supposed to be. We just have all this stuff of just keeping, just, you know, if we just stay on this path, we just keep trying to, someday God will manifest himself and do something. I mean, that's absolute ignorance going to seed. I'll end up dying of sickness before I could ever get healed. How far do we have to move down the road? How far do we have to push this stuff? Why did we ever buy this stuff off these people? Why do we ever listen to what they say on this stuff? What are we doing? What are we sending them checks for? Pushing everything down the road. Like God's not interested in moving right now. And if he's not moving now, Ed, what's wrong with you? Instead of, well, we'll just keep beat the same dead horse and now we'll do it this year, next year, and the next year. We'll have wonderful prophecies. We'll talk about the big move of God that's coming someday. We'll just keep yelling about that down there. And that satisfies everything. You know, that'll just make, I am sick of it. I want to know what I got to do. I want a move of God. Look, I want you guys to have a move of God, but if you don't have one, I want one. I want to have revival. And you know, I know this. I don't have to wait for you to have one for me to have one. And you don't have to wait on me either. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? Quit waiting for somebody else to bring you into revival. Get off your lazy rear end and do something. Quit waiting around for some preacher to bring it to you. Hallelujah, I'm going to find out what God wants, I'm going to do it. Glory to God, He'll bless me. Get bold about doing the will of God. When you know what to do, get bold about doing it. Quit messing around and worrying about what Harry and Uncle Harry and, you know, whether your mama likes it or not. Tell her to get a bus to Kansas City. We're going to have God here. You bring God, it'll change a lot of people and their stupid stuff of what they want when they finally see the real. But somebody's got to bring the real. Why not us? Why not us bring the real? Why not us have the real? I'm not waiting 10 years. I'm sorry. I'll tell you what, I'm already having a revival. I'm half crazy as it is, dear Lord. Hallelujah. As I'm losing my mind, I'm getting the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Praise God. Now Jesus went, verse 23, and we'll get through these yet, these verses. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. It says, but the hour is coming and now is, verse 23, the hour is coming and now is. He said, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. In other words, God is looking for something. What's God looking for? What does he want? It says, God is looking for something. He's looking for what? Father, he says, worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit. In other words, worship comes from the spirit. It doesn't come from your mind. It comes from your spirit. Spirit. He says, what and truth? In other words, the truth. Jesus said what the truth was. He said, your word's truth. In other words, the word of God, that's the truth. So in other words, it has to do with our spirit and the Word of God. That's true worship. It has to do with the spirit, your spirit and the Word of God. So it must be in line with the Word of God. Just while you go over, make sure what you do is in line with the Word of God. But it's from your spirit. This is why dealing with the subject of faith. See, people get over and think, well, you know, these people get over into faith and teaching on faith too much. I'm sorry, you can't. Without faith, you can't please God. See, faith is how you please God in the areas of worship. We worship an unseen God. Is there any other way that you can worship than faith? You can't operate. How are you going to worship unseen without faith? Faith's the only thing you got to do it with. Believe in what you don't see. What do we believe? What the Word says. The Word says, even though we can't see it. I worship a God that can't see. I was worshiping here today, and you know what? Jesus didn't show up and manifest him before Ed and say, hey, I'm here. Father God, I didn't see him on the throne or nothing. But you know what? Worshiping this morning, I was acting like he was here. Because in my heart, I know he's present. That's why we sing that song about God is here. Does it get us here? We come here. God is here. We ain't trying to get God here. We're not trying to do something. It's getting that in the church. The church comes to have services to see if they can get God to show up. If he ain't here, he probably won't show up. We want God to manifest. See, God that's in me, the Holy Spirit in me, I want him to manifest. And he does. He talks to me all the time up here. Why? He manifests himself. Because he's here. God's here. And he manifests here. I'm not trying to get God here. God is here. If you're not in contact with him, there's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with God. But you know what? It's just like, you know, God don't have to specifically say anything to me up here. I know what the Word says. I can just act on the Word. This is one thing as I have learned over the years of this, is one of the things you're going to have very few manifestations of God in your life. Very few until you act on the Word. See, I act and do things before I ever sense anything. I just start acting in line with the Word. See, I just stand up here and I start talking to God like he's here. I just expect him to answer me. Well, most people, they're waiting for God to do something, then they'll do something. That's not how it works. So I'll give you a little, Lord, I'll talk to him about that. This is off on a little bit, but this is a good rabbit trail, good thing you need to listen to. You know, we want a lot of manifestations of spirit in the church. It's not going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Do you know the majority of manifestations, 90% of manifestations of the Holy Ghost I've ever had in my life happen outside the church. That's where they happen. You look in the Bible. They weren't happening in the church. They weren't happening in the synagogue. When Jesus took them to the synagogue, they were so shocked. They never saw But it doesn't that way. You look at the prophets of the Old Testament. They happened when they were out there around people doing stuff. Most of the time, those manifestations happened on a one-to-one basis with a certain individual. You see, we have a lot of this stuff. Because why? Our religious thinking. The way we're thinking religiously about stuff and how it should be. God shouldn't have to prove to you anything. You should already know he's here. It's one thing for a baby Christian. That's why, you know, Kenneth Hagin said his 12 years as a pastor, he said we only ever had two times in 12 years where a gift of healing went in operation for one of the members of our church to get healed. He said only two times. He said all the rest of the people in our church over 12 years got healed by faith. See, most of the church world today is waiting for the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. That's what they're waiting for. See, you have the evangelist goes out here, the healing evangelist. He goes out here and holds meetings. His meetings are not for the church. They're not for the church. They're not for Christians. Now, Christians can go and support the ministry and use their faith, but his gift is toward the world. And you'll find, if you ever followed up and looked at people who get delivered, there are people who are either baby Christians or out of churches that haven't been taught about healing, or people are just sinners. But you come over to the Spirit-filled people, you'll find very few times people get healed in their meetings. It don't happen often. It ain't supposed to. It's not supposed to. Because, see, those people over there, they get healed from that, but they're going to have to start acting on faith on what they've learned from that. It's not going to just keep happening for them. See, God demonstrates things. We need to get over here and start to understand what ministry's about. The manifestations of the Spirit, we just want them in the church, in the operation. See, we had, and Mike knows, when we were in Full Gospel Businessmen, we had more manifestations in Full Gospel Businessmen at our meetings than they did in the church. The church we went to didn't have as many manifestations. And you know why? Because we'd get lots of people would come in there. We'd get a lot of Mennonite people come in. They didn't know about that stuff. God heal them, fill them with the Holy Ghost, those things. That was the purpose of those things, for God to reveal to people outside the church. So you'd go over to the church, and the church people wanted it in the church like it was in those meetings. It was never supposed to be that way. Now, some of them, you're looking like a cow at a new gate. You know, just... See, we need to understand this. I learned a long time ago. That's why the Lord told me. I had to learn to operate by faith, to be healed by faith. That's why he told me. He said he didn't want people, you know, laying hands on me and all that kind of stuff. Learn how to get it. So why? So I could teach people how to get it. Gifts of healing, they only operate as the Spirit wills. They don't operate all the other time. And how do you know when the Spirit's going to will to do it? I don't know. He never really talks to me much about that stuff. He never really consults me on those things. He anoints me. You know, I've had numbers of times where the gift of faith has operated through me. On numbers, okay, I could sit here and tell you numbers of stories. Gift of faith operate through me for somebody. I ain't got a clue sometimes why it operated for different individuals. And I've told the Lord over the years, boy, that'd be a nice one. You could carry it in your pocket. You could do it, that stuff. But it don't work that way. And it doesn't, when I think about it in its operation of how it's going to work, it usually don't. The ones that you'd think, you know, that God would work. And I can say this. I have never had somebody who was in a spirit-filled church, you know, that had been taught healing. I've never had one time that gift ever kick in for an individual like that. It's always been somebody has either been a nominal Christian that didn't know much about stuff or a sinner. See, why did you pick them? Why did he pick them? I don't know. Sometimes it's strange. I don't know why God did what he did or for whom what he did. I don't know. He doesn't seem to do much consulting to Ed to find out if it's all right. And to me, I've asked him already about certain things, and some things he's talked to me about, and some of them he ignores me. So I figure when he ignores me, it's good. I ignore that subject too. So he wants to talk to me about it, he can. But I don't know why he does. See, we need to get over it. And this, we need to understand this about the God that we deal with. We have the idea it comes to grace and God because we're his children. We think our God will put up and tolerate what we put up and tolerate from our children. He don't. A baby Christian might get away with some things for a while, but there's things that God won't tolerate and he won't put up with after a while, you know. You come to a place, you have to learn. It's just like you have to teach a child. You need to teach a child the place that you say no, you don't have to go into great explanation. You said no. If you have to keep explaining, the child owns you. They are now the adult. You don't have to explain. Your children need to learn to know no. I had a person one time. Kevin told me Christian, spirit-filled Christian, born and raised in a spirit-filled home. Didn't believe in saying no to your kid. Don't say, that's not a good word, is no. Don't say no. Well, I just knew that, probably most drunks have more sense than that. And, they got this nice little road. It was just that much psychology. It's just this psychology of today. And you don't say no. Well, I started watching the child, and the child turned out being nothing but a heathen. He's grown up pretty much as a heathen. But I'll never forget, they said don't about no. So I was with the father and the child, and the child was only a couple years old, broke away from his dad, and his dad's trying to get him back, and we're on the street going across in Lebanon. And the little guy, the dad's standing there just calling his name and come back. And I can see what the kid's going to do. He's going to take a run for the street. There's cars coming all over the place. I ran down to him. He wouldn't say no to him. The father wouldn't say no to him. See, if you have to explain to your kid why he shouldn't play in the middle of the street, whoop their butt, put them on the curb and say, I said no. And if you don't, somebody will get a hold of you, whoop your butt. See, you got to learn that obedience to things. That child would have learned no by the parent to obey that parent. If I would not have been there, that child would have got hit by a car by a stupid father. It wasn't some driver's problem. It was called dumb father, dumb mother. That's what it was. Many Christians die prematurely because the word goes out no, and they do it anyway. Because they were taught grace. Don't have to. I just go out and be stupid. I don't have to listen. God loves me. That's good preaching, folks. This is good preaching. See, you have to learn to obey. We don't have much of that today. We don't teach that. We don't teach that with children. We don't teach them to, they don't obey. I asked my wife, go to school. You can see how kids are. They're not taught to obey at home. They don't have to obey. The parent says something, they talk back to them. I didn't do that in my home. They had a fear of their daddy. Don't get dad mad. I want to tell you what. Don't get God mad. Read the Bible. Talks about God mad. People don't. God gets fed up with stuff. We don't. There's not any kind of fear. There's no fear. There's no fear of judgment. There's no fear of punishment. People day. Paul said. Paul writes it. How many are weak, sick, die prematurely? That's always gripped me from the time that I ever read that. Most Christians, they've owned their Bible for 27 years, and it still don't bother them the least. They never even bother reading it. See, I want to know what's going on, don't you? See, God has set a plan. He has set a plan for your success and my success. He has done that. I mean, that's a done deal. That's what he said. Now, he's established it. And one of the things is us getting to the point of looking at what God established. I don't need to, you know, to walk by faith, I don't have to have somebody, you know, everything explained to me. All I have to do is do what the word says. Believe what it says and do what it says. You don't have to know how it works. You don't need to do it. To me, this is the most wonderful thing. I don't have to. I just know if I believe it's true and I act in line with it was true, then I'm on the blessed side. Isn't that nice and simple? See, we want all this, you know, well, no, I want you to do 27 teachings on that so I get around and understand how everything works. If you're not going to start to put the word into practice when you hear it, when it's brought to you, you're probably never going to do it. See, it's one of the things I've got. The reality of Scripture in your life comes when you start to apply it, not when you sit and listen to a lot of teaching on it. That isn't where it comes in life. See, I learned, it's one thing is I found out why the military, I don't know how they are today, but the military does so much better than our schools and be able to take people in a short period of time and teach them how to do something. I want you to think about this. We got like, you know, you go out to the Air Force, they got these jets out here. I mean, dear Lord, they got parts that cost over $1 million on them. Plus, what those things cost, the technology in those things to run. And you know what? Those guys don't go 4 years of college and then 2 more years of technical and this and that to learn to fix them things. They take guys out here off the street that have no form, no other than high school, send them to school for a year or so and put them out there and they fix them jets. And we send the kids to college and they can't even push a pencil. They ain't intelligent enough to use a telephone. They can't even talk to you in any kind of words except some kind of lingo you ain't got, nobody knows. It ain't tongues, it ain't nothing. I don't know what it is. But folks, we got what has gone wrong. Why? See, somebody has messed up somewhere. It was one of the things I learned in the military just like I was in. They trained me to repair any of the Army's electronic equipment when I went in. And you know how much schooling I had first trip around? 32 weeks. 32 weeks. My God, we can't send the people for 42 years to school and get them to fix everything. Do you know why they were good at it? It's because they made you do it. You went to school, they told you something, then you had to practice it right there. You didn't go and learn to practice it after your 4 years of college. Now you're going to go out and practice it. They would teach us a certain thing in theory. Then they would take you out and make you do that. You'd start doing that. You'd start fixing whatever problems were to start working on something and had to do with that. Folks, that'd be the Bible. That's why it works. When you get something, you don't wait to hear. You don't need to know more about if you ain't doing what you already know to do about. What do you need another teaching for? Do what you know. Practice what you know. Put it together. That's how I learn about walking in health. I got a little tidbit here. I started practicing that. I started doing that. I started seeing the benefit of just practicing that. Next thing God showed me, I started practicing that. I started walking in that. Start doing that. And over the years, I got a cumulative knowledge on that subject. But it did not. I didn't have to learn it all at once to get there. I was walking in divine health after 3 months. 3 months. I know Christians have been Christians 47 years trying to figure that one out. The easiest thing in the world to do. If I could only get them to start practicing the Word, they don't ever do the Word. You don't need a great big revelation. One word from God will change the universe. Let there be light. Do you think it stayed dark? One word. What if he told you to say it? Well, we're going to wait till I figure out how this light thing works, you know. What is he really talking about? No, you don't do that. You just start practicing. You just start doing it. I'll never forget what the Lord spoke to me as a young Christian and said to me, did you ever notice that Jesus never prayed about animate objects? And I thought that. He said, he spoke to the storms. He spoke to different things. He spoke to stuff. He spoke to the tree. He said he never prayed about them. And I said, no, I said, I never noticed that. I said, Lord, I never heard anybody even talk about that. He said, you don't have to pray about those things. He said, things in this earth you want to change, just tell it. Animate objects. You speak to them. Well, he gave me that revelation. And you know what? A week later, I talked about the storm down in Redding. A week later, that storm. And you know what I did? I, stupid young Christian, stood out there. Because see, he told me to talk to them. I didn't have this thing in me that I was Mr. Prophet and I'm going to stand out there and thus saith the Lord. Hold a lightning bolt in my hand and do. I didn't do any of that. When I stood there and did that, I was sort of like, my mind's going to be, you're going to look dumb in front of these people. Because there's other people there. They're standing there. We're standing on the street. We're out doing street witnessing. There's other people standing around watching. Right over from us stand some guys from a Spanish gang. They're right across the street from us on the other side. Here's this nutty guy standing over here talking to storms. But you know what? I just put into practice what he told me. And you know what? The storms played. Well, you know what? After that, I started talking to stuff. But see, it would have never done anything for me had I not put into practice. I didn't wait for a feeling. I had no feeling at all that that was coming. It wasn't about feeling. See, I got a revelation. It was from the scriptures about Jesus talking to things. And the Lord said, you need to do that. And over the years, I practiced that. Over the years, we practiced that concerning our property. I went around, telling the devil, Lord said, don't let the devil tear up your property. See, God didn't per se protect our property. I had to. I put the protection up on our property. God didn't. God will back it up, but God don't put the protection out. I do. And see, I learned. I talk. So I talk the storms. And I told the devil, you can't tear up my property. I'm not going to allow that. See, you can believe, maybe you can go along and you go to the church of your insurance company where they're acts of God's. They're acts of God out there. No, they ain't the acts of the devil. The devil steals, kills, and destroys. And I just walk around our property. And you know what? I did that back in, right about the early 1990s, I did that. I never had to do that since. I never got out of faith on it. I don't have to go out there every year and go around my property because it only lasts a year, Faith will only work for a year, and then it dies and you got to do it over again. No, I walked around and every time once in a while I remind the devil, storms will come up and I say, devil, you can't do a thing about this. There's people who allow you on their property, but not mine. And I always tell them, there's people who allow you. I said, there's Christians allow you on their property. You go see them, but you don't see here. Not at this place. You're not allowed on mine. This is good preaching, folks. Hallelujah. See, God has set up a system. God established a system. I've always found this. When I know what His system is and I follow it, it works every time. The church has too many of its own systems, its own ideas of how things work and what they do. I found this out. I have never come along where God has some complicated system. They're always simple. Why? It's me believing the Word. My major thing is getting a revelation. That's the major. Once you get the revelation, You have this choice. You either believe the revelation and then you begin to practice it. You don't wait for 10 years and to go to 10 more seminars and to hear somebody teach on it, because you done wasted your time. You ain't going nowhere. I've talked before, you know, and I remember, you know, years ago, and Mike and I talking about going to seminars. You always have the people that go and love to hear the stuff, but they don't ever practice it. And they're as dumb next year when they get back all the good things they heard, and they're just as dumb next year as they were the year before. It don't matter what you hear. It's what you do with what you hear. You hear, get revelation, let's go practice this. Let's go put this into practice. Say, what if it don't work? Well, forget doing it. You just got it. You ain't believed it yet. You'd never say, what if it don't work? Well, you ain't believed it. You don't believe it's true. You practice it because you believe it's true. Top on the list is believe. What did Jesus say in the opening statement to that woman? The whole basis of what he's going to tell her, the revelation does no good. He said, woman, believe me. That's top on the list. Don't matter what revelation comes after that. You got to believe what's said. And you believe what's said, start to put it to work. I've watched over the years, I've seen people, especially first getting born again, you know. Full Gospel Businessmen was one of the most phenomenal things. I mean, when I first started, got hooked up with those guys, every day for you, farmers, carpenters, and, you know, guys had construction companies and different things. Those guys got more of a move of spirit through them than most ministers I know. But you know what? Those guys just believed. When they knew something, the revelation, and you know, some of them I could see this. They didn't know a lot about certain things, but boy, what they knew, they would do it. And how God moved. It was phenomenal. I loved it. See, it's to me, that was, I'll tell you, I truthfully say this. I had more fun with those guys in ministry than I have had in any ministerial group I've ever been in. You know why? They weren't religious at all. Nobody was religious. We had guys of all kind of backgrounds. I mean, you name it. I mean, different churches, and went to different churches, and different, some of them were spirit-filled, some of them weren't spirit-filled, this, that. But everybody was there, believed in a spirit-filled life, and God would use people. And it's amazing what God did. But see, nobody was a rocket scientist. We all just wanted God to move. And if God said something, we were just dumb enough to do it. We did it. And it's funny. But you know what? What happens is, and it's a funny thing, the more people seem to gain an intellect concerning Christianity, the less they seem to do. The more they seem to learn and become knowing so much, the more they get away from practice. They try to walk and live off of their knowledge, and they lose what they need, which you can't lose, is living out of your heart. That's what those guys did. They lived out of their hearts. And that's where the power of God was. See, I don't care. If you don't operate out of your heart, there won't be any power. That's where it comes from. It comes out the inside. It's in. See, like, for me to minister, if I want the anointing to work, I can't minister from my head. There's no power in my head. Sometimes I wonder what's up there. Where it comes from is, if I hook up on the inside, the power works. Anointing comes. Revelation starts coming. I marvel at it. I tell you what, and I'm considering myself, not from your standpoint, but I was talking to the Lord about this week. I said, I minister on a level so much higher than my intellect. I said, half the time, you know, you need to understand about this when the anointing comes. Kenneth Hagin said about this years ago, people would always talk about Brother Hagin. They thought he had this all the time where he would always know dates and places and times. None of that was true. Brother Hagin, I've heard him say it personally. He said, when the anointing's not on me, I have trouble remembering about dates and times and when things happen. He said, the anointing, he said, that stuff just comes. When you get the anointing, he said, I just know it. I know he's talking about it. It's like revelation. There's things that come up out of me, and I know that I haven't been studying it. I haven't been, you know, I might have read about it in the scriptures. And all of a sudden things come, and I think, my God, I get a revelation. All of a sudden I think, my God, I knew more about that right now than I knew about before. Well, that came up out of the anointing. I wasn't all of a sudden some kind of genius and knew this. Most people don't understand how the anointing works. And this is why we marvel at ministers. And sometimes, you know, we should not be marveling at all. We should be amazed how God even uses them. But see, we get over hooked up on all this stuff and all these things of people. And we get hooked up on wrong stuff. We don't know the anointing. We don't know God. We just know people by the flesh. The Bible says, no man after the flesh. We think some people, oh, they're just geniuses. I'm going to tell you. I don't know. This is one thing that I've learned. I have learned this. Before I got the anointing to teach, I surely didn't want to teach. And you surely wouldn't have wanted to listen to me teach. But when God anointed me to teach, it changed. I even liked listening to it, and I would teach myself. I'd get over stuff and start studying, and that anointing would come on me. And I'd start preaching and teaching the Word. I'd start, and I still do to this day. Man, when a good revelation comes, I talk it out. Hallelujah. I start talking it. I start saying it. And I preach me a good little sermon, make me happy, do a little jig, and whew, let's get her back over here again. Let's go over and look at some more. Glory to God. See, when that stuff works, and it's the anointing. See, this is why we want to hook up under the plan of God. We find out what the plan of God is, and we start doing it out of our spirit. We do it by faith. Faith don't know the whole thing. If you know the whole thing, you ain't walking by faith. See, people like everything over in the area of stuff. Explain it all. You know, let's get it all out of here. Give me a teaching program where I go and I sit down and I listen to him. When I know everything, then we'll do this. No. That isn't the way it works. And revelation don't come that way. Revelation. Revelations come by bit, by bit, by bit, a part. You walk in that part, then God gives another part. That's the way it works. It's called trust. When most people talk about trust in God, they have no clue what they're even saying. They say, I'm trust the Lord. Say, what information you got? Oh, no. I'm praying and believing. Believe in what? What scripture do you believe in? See, we make statements about things. There's a lot of religious stuff that's said. People say have a lot of religious cliches. You know, don't be one of those religious cliche people. We have a lot of them. The spirit-filled people really have a lot of cliche people. That they know how to say things that sound spiritual but aren't at all because they aren't believing a thing. They know when they get around other spirit-filled people, what pull out your little tongue-talking booklet on speaking to Christians, and here's the phrases that you say to them, and they'll think you're spiritual, and they won't know you're a backslidden buzzard that don't have nothing to do with God other than when you come to church and put a show on. Oh yeah. See, we know how to say the right things. And that's why when I get around people, they don't know I'm a minister. I never say I'm a minister. I let them hang themselves, then I tell them I'm a minister and watch them choke. You know how many, I love to do it with Christians. I do it all the time with Christians. Nobody says they're a Christian. They go through the motions and they go through the things. And after they show what a fleshly carnal person they really are, then I tell them, I'm a pastor of church. How you doing? They go, woo, woo, woo. And it's funny. From that time on, as long as they're there, they never talk that other junk that they were talking. See, this is people say, well, I can't quit this and can't get that. Yeah, you can at a drop of a hat. I never found a Christian who was half of a drunk and smoking and stuff. They found out I was around and they were drinking and smoking around me. They'd never do it. And they say, I can't quit. You liar, you can quit. We ain't going through no song and dance. You just ain't got around. God can see you. God ain't real to you. See, they're moved by the flesh. A fleshly man standing in front, a man in the flesh standing in front of them can, oh, get them stopped doing it. They don't believe God sees them. God's not real to them. God's real, man. He's the unseen God. I worship by faith. He's around all the time. He sees my good side, my bad side, my backside, the whole thing. We don't hide nothing from him. And see what happens. See, a lot of people think that's a scary thing. No, it isn't. It's a thing that if you get that revelation, it helps you immensely in your life. It helps you. Do you need kept under control at all? Brother, I do. I don't know about you. Maybe all of you are more spiritual than it. But it helps. It gives me a place of control, a place where I know I maintain myself. There's boundaries you don't cross. You know, just over, if you take yourselves, if you were taught certain things as children, there's certain places and boundaries you don't go across or you don't go because you were taught. Even as you get to be adult, there's boundaries that you don't do. And see, my parents, you know, there was boundaries that if we crossed, you were going to go meet Jesus. You'd rather never meet Jesus than meet Daddy. But there's whole thing. What they did is they put a fear in you concerning certain things you didn't do. You know what's a good thing? People today say, oh, I know the certain fears. We're talking about fear to do evil. There ought to be a good, there ought to be lines that you won't cross to do evil. If you, why? The consequence of it. What it's going to cost you by crossing that line. That's why you teach kids when they're young. You put things on a fear. They learn not to cross certain lines. That the price to pay is greater than they ever want to pay. You go ahead and listen to the psychologists and the psychiatrists of the day. Go ahead. And let your child grow up to be a hellion and on drugs and everything else and wonder why I say we're praying for them. It may never work. You can't just override bad parenting with prayer. It don't take a place of the two. That ain't happening. Train up a child. It didn't say pray for a child. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. My parents saved my life. My parents saved my life by knocking on this head every once in a while, bringing an awakening every so often. When I was a kid, I thought, oh, that's bad, but I'll tell you, when I get older, I thank God somebody had some guts. Thank God Mama didn't put up with Ed's nonsense. Man, Dealey get a hold of you, you're done. She could whoop you good. You'd never talk back. I would have never. My mouth would have been on the back of my head if I'd ever said one quarter of what kids say to their parents today. You know, I'd have never said to Mom, I hate you. I wouldn't have been able to talk for 5 weeks because I'd have been in a coma. And they wouldn't have taken you to the hospital. They had to put you on the couch and let you lay there or you woke up. Now, my parents, I'm joking about it. My parents didn't be, but I'll tell you what, my parents get a hold of you. They didn't allow that kind of stuff. They didn't allow that kind of talk. They didn't allow certain things. They, you know, it's just like we had to have certain respect of certain things that you had respect for, that you did, which was really good. We learned limits and boundaries on things, like in the house. Outside, you could go out. You need to learn this to discipline yourself. But like with kids, they taught us boundaries and disciplines of things that you do and don't do. In the house, you didn't romp around, stand up on the sofa, jumping on things and doing all. You didn't do that in the house. That wasn't allowed. They had a boundaries there. This place here, you don't do it. That's why in the church world today, you come to the church ain't nothing but a playground, ain't no different than a bar. People have no more respect that they're in a certain place and are going to be with God at all. They don't, they just do their thing. There's no respect for it. Wow, they've been taught from that from children, you know. See, there's things, we had outside in the yard, you'd go out there and play, roll around the grass, do whatever you want, jump on anything, have a good time, you could do that. But in the house, there was a place, there was boundaries. There was things were all like that. You got in the car, there's boundaries in the car. Man, you don't want Dad to pull over. Oh, my God. It ain't going to be cute. You didn't do that stuff. But I'm glad they taught us that. You know, we grew up with that thing. And it's been good. See, we've lost a lot in Christianity. We've lost the respect, husbands and wives for one another. Women want to be men, and that went along for long enough to now all the men want to be women. And we did all this nutty stuff. It's because of we lost respect and we quit following the traditions of the Bible. You know, the Bible says to treat a woman, you know, any woman wants to be one of the boys. I'm going to tell you, I don't want no woman that wants to be one of the boys. You want to be the one of the boys? You know, go ahead, do whatever you want. But you're the loser. These ideas that people get into their minds. Folks, this is good. See, God laid down patterns of things. The Bible says about treating the woman, the man's supposed to as a weaker vessel. It doesn't mean the woman is weaker, but you treat her as. In other words, she's something valuable. She's something tender. We don't do that anymore. Women want to be one of the guys. You want to be one of the boys? Yeah, they want to be one of the boys till something goes wrong, and then they throw it over in their feminism, you know, because we were talking here this morning. These guys get together out here, and they, you know, guys will run each other down and get together and talk about each other. Now, not just Christian guys, but they'll sit around and talk about each other. They'll talk about sex stuff, make fun of each other, and a woman comes and gets in it, and you do it. She wants to be a man, but you try doing it, and then she, oh, you know, they're speaking as women and all this kind of thing. They don't treat me. They want to be treated like a woman now. Don't say those things around me. If you want to be one of the boys, shut up and act like one of the boys and don't be expected to be treated like a woman. My wife's a woman and I want to treat her like a woman. We need to get back to respect on things. And we were talking about this morning, but it's a good thing to get back to respect again between the sexes. There's no respect. My wife's not one of the boys. We got away from the things of opening doors for women and stuff like that. These need to come back to the church. Christians need to get back into this stuff, back into these things, treating each other with honor. We don't do that. Read what the scripture says. See, we want God to move, and yet the Bible tells us the conduct of a man and woman in a house and their submission. You think we can bypass that and we're going to have the power of God going? No, we ain't. My wife isn't subservient to me, but she is a submissive wife. She follows a pattern of something. Her and I ain't in competition with one another. And I'm not trying to rule over her like she's a dog. She's not. She's a smart, intelligent woman. And I go around, but you know what? I don't care what she's wanting. I open doors for her. She goes, get in the car, and I'm there opening the door for her to get in the car, sit down. I open the door. I go up and unlock the door of the house, open it, and she goes in first. You go, you take care of things. Why? Because I consider the word of God is true. I treat her as if she's more fragile than me. Yet she's not some fragile thing. But the Bible told me to treat her like that. Well, what am I going to do? Woman, what are you going to do? You want to be one of the boys? You just said you didn't want God moving in your life. Don't be surprised you don't. God don't have to open the door for me. Well, if God wants him to, you better let him open the door and shut up. You want blessing? Guys, see, we need to get back in. See, our children have no respect. They don't see it among the parents. Why should they have respect? Today, the children go first. I was raised, the children never went first. The children were never first. Now we have these generations of kids, and they think they're 30, 40 years old, and they think they ought to be first. Because mama and dad had taught them they're supposed to be first. Like I told you, mama was first. She's the queen. I'm the king and make sure mama gets first. And the kids, they're on the bottom of the totem pole. They ain't first on the list. You want a lot of my marriages don't work today? Because women love their children and don't care about their husbands. Their children is number one on the list. You married your husband, not your children. Your children are offsprings of your marriage and they're not number one on the list. Husband, you married that lady, not your job, not other stuff. You're supposed to treat her, the Bible says, like Christ treats the church. Man, I'll tell you what, the Lord must want to talk about you. But we need to deal with these. Hey, this is in the Bible. We want a move of God without the Bible, and we keep saying we believe the Bible. Yes, about 10% of it. But the things that are talked about the most, we don't even talk about nor believe anymore because the American culture is so important. The American culture is dominating the church, which means the devil is dominating the church. See, we need to bring it back in again. See, really a love relationship between two people, is that honoring each other? And See, children need to grow up, see mom and dad like each other, That mom and dad have each other's backs instead of mom having the kid's back and the good luck dad. Are we having fun? You hear this nice psychology all the time about, well, mama and the kids, a woman's just drawn to her kids. No, the Bible says she's supposed to be drawn to God, and she's supposed to submit to her husband. He didn't say submission to the children. I'm not just jumping on women. Men, we need to, lots of times guys, we need to straighten all this stuff out. The guy's supposed to love his wife like Christ loves his wife. Give his life for her. You know, the Bible says this. A man's supposed to take a wife. He's supposed to leave father and mother. You don't live with mom and dad. You don't live in the same house with mom and dad. You get married, it's out on the road, or you shouldn't even be married. You don't even qualify for marriage if you can't provide for your wife. You don't even qualify for marriage. Not according to the Bible. And it says what a man is supposed to what? Cleave to his mom and dad? Cleave to her parents? No, he's supposed to cleave to his wife. You know, see, most of that there's one thing. Most men don't cleave to their wife. Most women have to cleave to the husband. See, that's American culture. Give me a move of God. No, let's get back over and get in line with God. I think we could have a move of God. Hallelujah. Number one, you want a move of God in your home. I don't have to go to church to try to get something. I want God when I need it. 90% of the time I need something, then it's at home in any church. It's at home. I want a move of God in the house. Hallelujah. See, my wife's a tender vessel. She needs shoes on her feet. She needs clothes on her. And you know what? It turns me when I hear guys complaining about their wives and wanting clothing and dress and things like that. Man, I want to take care of my wife. You know, she wants clothing. I'll take her shopping. You guys, why don't you take your wife shopping sometime? Mr. He-Man. It's good preaching, folks. You know what? I ain't crazy about running out of store looking at all this stuff. They go and they look at everything under the sun. But you know what? My daughters got raised by a man that took them into stores, and I'd let them go around and shop all day, and I would carry all their stuff, and I'd take her out to the car, and I'd put it out. I'd do all day. They went around. They don't have to. My wife don't have to carry a bag in the store. I go. She don't carry any bags. I carry everything. I take care of it. I make sure they get out to the car and that stuff, and when they get to go wherever they want to go, and I do that. You know why I do it? Ain't because I like shopping. I don't like to hear people say, well, I don't like to do it. I don't care if you don't like to do it. You ain't going to amount to nothing as a Christian if you start doing some things you don't like to do. Amen. Do it for somebody else because you love them. Amen. Good preaching. Men don't take their wives certain places on vacation. The wife would like to go because he don't like to go there. It ain't a matter whether I like to go there or not. I want my wife to have a good time. I'll take her. I love her. But you know what? She acts in the same darn way. It isn't about what we like all the time. See, we want a move of God without God. It's a matter of acting on the Word of God. It's acting like it's true. I mean, think about these things. If we don't, we talk about love and know very little about it. It isn't something you do out here and say, well, I'm gonna try to walk in love with Nancy Pelosi. Well, you know what? That might be a pretty hard thing to do, but I, you know what? God don't care about me and Nancy Pelosi if I ain't walking in love with that lady. It don't matter about Nancy Pelosi and praying for the nation. It all starts at the house. And we ain't got it at the house. Everybody has their own careers and their own stuff that they're doing, and everybody's got their own thing. No, they don't. It comes from, one thing is I appreciate, we were taught at Rhema, your ministry never comes before the family. It's one of the things is our kids, our never kids never ever felt that the ministry took something from them. Number one, I wouldn't allow it to. My family came before ministry. Before anything, your family comes. Careers. Careers don't, people got careers and are making money and their family stinks to high hell. See, none of that stuff matters. That just things don't matter. See, number one, you have to face these. See, I, you know, every day I have to face me about these things. What am I going to do? Am I going to follow what I like? if her and I, she makes me mad, I'm not going to open the door for her. You know, well, I'll teach her a lesson. I won't open the door for her. No, when things go wrong, you just keep opening the doors and shutting the doors and things go wrong. I'm going to walk in love. I want to be blessed. You know, I'm going to do those things. See, there's things that you want to do, and you're going to have to walk in love to do it. I mean, there's no other way to do it. And this isn't something that we sit around and talk. A lot of this stuff we believe on page, but that's all it ever is, and it'll never be more than that on page. You got to start practicing this stuff. So that's what I was thankful is one thing is in Rhema, I was just sort of shocked. I went there to school and they started talking about these things to us. And they started talking about taking your wife out on a date. A few wonderful things like this, going on a date, kids aren't allowed. And they had this thing, this was part of her classes. You had to, every so often, you had to go on a date. Like they'd have so many weeks of certain classes, had to do the minister and his family, it was called. And so you had to do it. So you had to take out on a date. You went on a date, and you had to write things down about the date and that stuff, turn stuff in. You weren't, on the date, you were not allowed to talk about the kids one time. No talking about kids. Things you had to learn. See, most people don't have a life. They don't even know what to do. They don't know they have a family. They don't know what to talk about other than their job or the kids. And that's it. They ain't got a life. They don't even know each other. They don't even, you know, one of them found out was really good. It was good to do. We would get, you know, in fact, they would even do the things of people watching your kids and stuff so you could get out on a date. You get away from the kids. One of the most wonderful things you would ever do in your life is get away from your children. Those little kids ain't as cute as you say they are. You're a liar. You know you couldn't wait to get away from them. Oh my God! Makes this laugh of truth there. You gotta laugh and keeps them from crying. Get out and get away where they're not around making you crazy. Where you get around and relax. And again, you know, I often thought about it because they used to tell us about, like, when you went dating. When Mom and I first met her, what would I do to win her? What would she do to win me? We quit that stuff. You stop doing that. See, that's not good. Do you think Jesus did that to us? He went to the cross and then just kicked the rest of it under the rug somewhere about this relationship stuff? No. He just want to win you. He wants you as much now. That's one of the big problems of the church. He has very few. He has fellowship with very few. He wants to go on a date sometime. And literally, he'd like to go on a date sometime. He'd like a time where you and him fellowship. And see, you need that concern in a marriage. If you don't have those kind of things, you ain't got a relationship. Having a marriage, you know, it's one thing. My parents, they'd get into bickering pretty much. I'm not going to understand the church he went to and things. I'm not criticizing them. I know a lot more about things that God expects more out of me than he does them. But you know, it's one thing with them. I told them one time, they didn't believe in divorce. I said, get over it. I said, do you think just because you two stick with the same piece of paper you got married to, that tickles God? I said, divorce hasn't got another thing to do with about a legal document. I said, you and Mom got divorced a long time ago in the eyes of God. Because you didn't walk in love with each other. That's divorce. Divorce ain't about a paper. And if you think that, you need another dip. See, God's interested in us walking in love and doing it. You want to continue to walk in love. And you can't. Many husband and wife are divorced. They're just two people living together. And they'll knock people living together. They think that God honors their marriage just because one time they made some vows in front of a church and they got a legal document in their hand. But they're really separated in their life. They're separated. They don't know each other. They have their separate lives. How many just have their separate lives? So you don't want to go to that, you know, in relation. How can you fulfill what the Apostle Paul wrote, you know, the man loving his wife like Christ loves the church, giving his life to her. The woman being in submission to the husband. You know, Paul wrote, the woman's supposed to be in submission to the husband just like the husband's supposed to be in submission to Jesus. How much do you ever, you won't go to a marriage seminar in the church anywhere hearing that kind of stuff. Although the Bible teaches it, but it ain't something we talk about because it don't fit the American culture. It says, Sarah called Abraham Lord. Well, we want to talk about that one, do we? No, we want another Bible on that one, and we've made enough interpretations now that we got that out. I don't expect my wife to call me Lord. She'd probably just say, shut up, Ed. She's grinning and shedding. But see, there's a relationship that we have to. You know, I've never felt like I've had to make Wanda submit. There's one number. If you treat somebody with respect, and wives, you don't wait for the husband to do right till you do right. Love does right whether the other person does or not. See, we got to get over on this on both sides. See, we got to get over these things. We want a move of God. We need a move of God back in the home. That's one of the things that I can truthfully say that Wanda and I had a move of God. Our kids grew up in a move of God. It was in our house. They saw miracles, signs, and wonders. They saw it in their house. They grew up with it right in the house. Wasn't we were perfect and did everything right or do something, but we were a family. We've lost a lot of that today. The family's gone. And in the church, you know, we look, our government today is the picture of the church. The houses are divided, folks. And they're divided as deeply as our Congress is divided. Families are divided as deeply. The wrong teaching in the church, the families are divided. The woman's one thing, the guy's another thing. There's nothing together. Kids are paying a hellish price for it. They're paying a terrible price for this thing. How did all these kids end up in all these colleges? I mean, Christians today paying to send their kids through these liberal colleges that just teach hell and pay money to send their kid for an education so they can have a chance to make better money? Is money worth this thing? I want to cast the devil out of these parents, call themselves Christians. Be the day I'd be spending the money sending my kid to have this hellish stuff. I don't care how good their football team is. Colleges are teaching hell today. Who do you think's voting for Bernie Sanders? It's the educators. These college people, these professors, they love him. See, that's why we got to come back to truth again. Come back to the truth. Worshiping God in spirit and truth. Worship is more than us coming in and singing some songs. Our worship to God is our life. All the time, what we're doing. It isn't a 20, 30 minute spot here on a Sunday morning. Worshiping God in spirit and truth. Living, walking out of your spirit, living out of the inner man. And following what the Word says. That's a life of worship. Making your body a living sacrifice. I know we're going long, but I'll tell you what. These things. Listen here. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. One translation says rational service. But your bodies. In other words, you give your body to God. Well, that takes some work, don't it? That's your sacrifice. See, God's telling us what He requires as a sacrifice. He didn't say, get your paycheck out and get your checkbook out as your living sacrifice. I'm going to tell you, He's gone telling us about what really costs and what really takes some work, your flesh. The money thing can be a real easy thing. God said, I want the sacrifice of your body. He said, that's rational or that's reasonable. That's a rational thing to do. That's rational. Now, does that sound rational today? Sacrifice your flesh, not getting it to do what it wants. Every one of us know the times that we fought trying to make our flesh do what it wanted to do. Don't let it do what it wanted to do and do what it had to do. You know, how do you think about your flesh doing? You know, the Bible tells us, just like with going to work. People don't think that as being an unspiritual thing. I don't go to work. You know, I'm just going to stay in bed this morning, call off. Hey, make your body get up and go to work. That's a sacrifice. That's doing what's right. Making my body do what it don't want to do. That's the rational thing. See, following what the Word of God says. God says He blesses the labor of your hands. So I'm supposed to get up, go do that. Why don't I just don't feel like going today. I need a day off. Yeah, who told you that? I'm sure you didn't talk to the Holy Ghost inside of you about that one. Say, does your boss feel that way about it? Let me just meddle over in an area here, and I'll tell you what, it gets real touchy. Because we do the idea of slavery and all kind of thing like that. Have you ever read the scriptures in the New Testament what Paul wrote about slavery and stuff? Have you ever read it? Is anybody here? You've read it? You know what it says? It talks about people. Apostle Paul said if you're a slave and your brother's the guy who owns you, he's a believer. He said you work good for him because the profit's going to a believer. He didn't talk about slavery like we think about it. He talked about if you're a slave and you can get free. But he said if you can't, just stay in the condition you're in. And then it tells a servant who is a slave all that he's supposed to do, how he's supposed to act right and be nice toward who he works for. Even if the guy's not a nice guy. You see, we don't read the Bible. We know very little about the Bible. We almost know. New Testament's book is about this big. And the church don't even know 90% of what it says. And they ain't about to read it either. Because it don't speak in line with the culture. I have no interest in owning anybody. But we need to know those things. I mean, we don't even do that well concerning working for somebody. Griping and moaning all the time. Who we work for. Or not working. Anyhow. But see, a lot of things are messed up. We need to get back over to go into the scriptures. There is more said about conduct, just like with ministry. The Bible tells a person, if their family's not in order, they're not even supposed to be in the ministry. They're not even supposed to be in it, according to the New Testament. If their children aren't in line, they're not supposed to be in the ministry. Scripture says. I mean, Paul wrote about it. It said a deacon in the church. Heck, much less their family. Churches are loaded with deacons. Themselves ain't fit, much less their family. You don't have to engage their family. It's like we let all this stuff go. It goes on and talks about their conduct. These are the things that God requires. There's things God requiring, and all the things that are important under God required that He has now, the church has made all that not important and all these other things. Do you know to be a deacon or a minister in a church, you were not gauged by the amount of time you spent in prayer? Paul never wrote to anybody about that. He wrote about the conduct of the guy's wife and his kids, what their family's like, and if they ain't right, and if he has a bad reputation in the community, in other words, out in the community, he don't pay his bills, he don't do this or he don't do that, and he doesn't have a good reputation, he shouldn't be in charge of the church. Oh, yeah, but he has gifts of the Spirit in operation, so we'll take that. They're not even listed. Not even listed. Carnal Christian, the church at Corinth, who was a bunch of carnal people, came behind and no gifts. Cause you have a gift working is no sign of spirituality. Your conduct in life is your spirituality. If you have bad conduct in life, you ain't spiritual. It's simple. This don't take rocket science. We read the Bible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And see, we need to bring these things back to the church. These things need to be taught. But they need to be taught in the local churches. I will guarantee you, if any big name minister got up tomorrow and got in his TV ministry and said what I said today, you could watch, go over to Fox News and there'll be 2,700 other preachers criticizing him for making the statements and how they're all wrong. He didn't act in love. Oh yeah. You look what happened. How many big name ministers voiced when Pat Robertson made some statements about homosexuality saying it's wrong. And all of a sudden a bunch of big name TV ministers, he shouldn't have said that. He shouldn't have. He was saying what was right in line with the Bible. That's why half these big name ministers, I don't even waste my time ever listening to them. They're more interested in themselves than what's right. They don't want to stop the checks. We got a big thing going. We're really rich and helping. Jesus said this to people. They're going to come and say, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, I don't know you. And they're going to say, really? They had all these gifts in operation. And he's going to say, I go away. I don't even know you. Jesus said that. Gifts are no sign you're going to heaven. Jesus said that. Jesus said that. I wonder if it's true. I'll have to give some thought to that. There must be another verse to that somewhere. They probably took it out. We better come up with a new translation so we can get this in, because it makes me squirm. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, are you tired of me meddling? We'll do more of it next week. Glory to God. Now, I want you to know something, folks. We're going somewhere. I want to bring God back to the church. I want God to be able to come and move freely. I want Him to demonstrate His glory. I want Him to come in His power. I don't want just church. I want people just burning up with the glory. People have the glory of God every day in their life. Not when you just come to church. When I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about as a people, not as a building or a place we meet. In our homes, the glory of God. God manifests Himself in your homes. We had that years ago. We would, just like in Full Gospel, we'd get testimonies. The guys would give testimonies of things that God did. Powerful, powerful testimonies. Stuff that would happen on their jobs and doing things. The glory of God moving. It wasn't something you waited to go to church to have something. It's today. That's what it is. It's all about the church waiting to have these, waiting to have special meetings and all that kind of stuff. We had special meetings to go tell about what God did. We have special meetings trying to get God to do something. We go tell them what God did. See, Full Gospel was about testifying about what God did. When you go there, you know what? And when He would, because you were excited about what He did, He showed up and did things for people. See, we need to come back to these things. I'm just trying to go get something. The Apostle Paul, see, we do this in the church world today, and we don't realize it hurts. And I realize, I'm not talking just to criticize anybody, but people say this, all this thing today is you come to receive, you come to receive. The Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth they're supposed to come and have something to give. He didn't say come to receive. I can tell you truthfully, I can preach in or out of season. It don't have to be a season. It don't matter. I got something to give. Turn me loose. See, most people, they're just waiting. Everybody's sitting around, boy, whether it has, you ought to have something all the time. It ought to be God working in you all the time. That should be the norm. You come to church because you have something, not because you're trying to get something. The sinner comes that don't have anything. They come to get something. And when all the pulling's by the saints trying to get something, there's little left for the sinner. We got to change these things. I'm just coming to get something. No, I got something. Hallelujah. I'm just coming to church because they'll throw more gas on me. I'll just burn up more. Hallelujah. Just come and throw some gas on me and turn me loose. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Say, dear Lord, let me go home. I got to get away. This man's crazy. I'll tell you. Hallelujah. I don't know, but I tell you, I needed that today. I did. I needed that today. So you speak those things, they just become fresher in you. And so I didn't have, 90% of this was in, had nothing to do with notes. And so God's talking to me as much as He does for you. But just one thing to see is I'm seeing this about God. He's wanting us to go back. There's things that people walked in the past we need to go back into. There was a reverence that needs to go in back to. And especially, we talk about a reverence for God, but I will tell you this. To have a reverence for God, you're going to have more of a reverence for your brothers and sisters. And especially in the home. I cannot have a reverence for God and not have a reverence concerning my wife. There's a reverence that you have. There's a respect that I have to hold her in a position that I have to. That doesn't mean we do everything right and we don't ever, these people say, we never had an argument. Well, just because you didn't ever have an argument don't mean you didn't want to have 20 and you holding stuff against somebody. I don't mean nothing. We never had an argument because I would never say anything. And the whole, but I'm still mad at her, Oh, am I so holy? Because we didn't. No, we've had arguments. And every once in a while, I get to win. I said, she says you win, but it's not true. It ain't true. Don't you believe it? I'm just trying to convince her that I'm always right. It ain't been working. And she knows she's always right, so that settles it. So it works pretty good that way. And I know her famous words, Ed, shut up. I say, yes, ma'am. So be it, mother. Don't take yourself so seriously. I'll tell you, that helps a marriage. You just take yourself so seriously. You know, it does. And, you know, you got to learn around and laugh at yourself how stupid you are. You do. You just got to, you know. Usually the things that we get upset over are so stupid to begin with. You sit down, you look at it, you think anything important we get together on, anything stupid we fight about. And then you come together and say, oh, forgive me for being a knucklehead. And she says, well, I know you are. So I say, yes, ma'am, you're right. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, start to walk in a, you know, sit down. Let God deal with you on the inside, especially. There's one thing as a husband and wife, I don't see how you really, as people, expect a move of God with a divide in their relationships. There needs to be a real, there's a real strength. There's a things about a husband and wife's unity and faith and belief and their love for one another. It's a hugely powerful thing. The things that for yourselves in agreement, the most powerful tool that you could ever have is agreement. Wanda and I can bring anything to pass for ourselves because of getting in agreement. We've learned how to do it. Man, we know how to get in agreement. Stand with each other. And you need to have that. You know, that should be the first place, not looking for some pastor or some minister or somebody else. That shouldn't be the person on your prayer chain. You should be able to, if you want the person you're with, you stand, and this is what we believe, and we're going to do this, and we're going to walk in this, and here's where we're going. Sitting down and talk with each other. We'll talk to each other about the things that we want to believe God for, you know? And it's, you know, we just found over the years, you know, if we, and whether it's in giving, whatever it is I do, I always ask her where she's coming from. I don't just throw something out there in her. I ask her because she has wisdom too. She's smart on it. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, if she's supposed to be in submission. It's like working on any job. You know, if you're a supervisor, you ought to listen to the people who are doing the job sometime. It might be good on your behalf to figure that out. So you do. You ask those people because they can have some wisdom. It would do you good, help you make a right decision. So I've learned over time. There's areas I know very Wanda's very strong in. And so I know, if especially I'm going to do something, I ask her because she's strong in areas and she has wisdom and stuff and things and find that out. Because some people are talented more than one area than another one. There's certain areas and stuff. Maybe I have more wisdom or understanding in her in an area. But you need to be able to identify that in each other. And that becomes a huge strength because you have somebody else that you can draw on, that you can stand in together in agreement with. Man, you know, they say two heads are better than one. Well, sure, two hearts are better than one too. And you stand together and learn how to walk in that. It is a powerful, powerful thing to be able to do that. And especially as, you know, as, just not living together. You don't want to do that. You want just, well, we're just living together and that stuff. What is life? You know, it's today it's more or less about two people working, having enough and a paycheck and all this kind of things. We've missed a lot of the purpose of marriage. Because its purpose is what it's for. God established the unity between a man and a woman before anything else he established and the rest of all the stuff. He didn't come along and give the building of the temple and everything and all that kind of stuff. That wasn't the number one on the list, was it? Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I just thank you today. Thank you for taking the time, Lord God, and just telling us the truth. Lord, I want to thank you for speaking these things. Lord God, because there needs to be a unity and blessing back into the families of the church again. Father God, there are so many hurting people out here, families that are just, Lord, there's so much messed up. There's so much with man's ideas and man's plan. And Father, I'm talking about what's been in the church. Father, there hasn't been good instruction on marriage and things and stuff. Lord, that stuff hasn't been here. Lord God, it's all dealing with the culture of the day and following the culture of the day and rather than following in your word. And Lord God, we've missed out on your blessing. The church has hurt. Families have hurt. Children have hurt. husband and wives have hurt, Lord God, have not been able to enjoy the glory that you have in the relationship that you establish for a man and a woman. Father God, Father, we want to bring back where marriage again is such a blessing that people would leave these other lifestyles. We want them to see the blessing of the lifestyle of marriage. Like, Lord, all the rest of the stuff. You know, Lord God, I want them to come to the place that they can clearly see that you're not in that other stuff. I want them to see that you're in the unity of a man and a woman together. Lord God, that calls Jesus Lord. Hallelujah. That follows the glory of God. We want to see that, Father. Father, you know we desire very much that your glory be poured out. And Lord, you spoke to us, Lord God, by the Holy Ghost here this morning about, Lord God, this year, your plan for the year. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Your plan for the year is your glory poured out, an awakening, Lord God, the giant raising up. I think, Lord God, here with us, Lord God, there's a raising up here this morning. There's a stepping back into the place of the glory that you gave us. Lord God, a love that dominates and rules in the family. Hallelujah. Again, Lord God, stepping into that place where you can come and use us. Lord God, in whatever position or place that you want to establish us in the church, you can, because, Lord God, the family is in order. And so, Lord God, you can establish ministry, Lord God, because we know ministry is established through the family that walks together. And Lord God, Lord, there's people that you desire to use here. There's people that you want to anoint and step into places in these last days and times. And Lord God, I thank you. You're setting us in line that those things will come to pass just like you want them to. Hallelujah. That they'll be able to step into those places that you've given to them, Lord God, with anointings, Father, and the power of God to carry out to bless humanity. We thank you for it. I thank you for all that you're going to accomplish and do. I thank you, Father God. Father, you aren't trying to hurt us. You're doing everything you can to help us. Hallelujah. So your blessing can flow freely. So Father, today I just do what you, Jesus, you said to the woman, you said, told her to believe, only believe, Lord God, I'm believing today. Hallelujah. I believe what you say is true. I believe the word is true, Lord God, and we're just going to act on the word. Hallelujah. And live in the blessing that you called us to in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.